I told myself not to get up in the night and walk across the floor unless I wanted to cut my feet to smithereens. Then I closed my eyes and began to piece together the dream I wanted myself to have. How a little door in the Black Mary statue would open up just over her abdomen, and I would crawl inside to a hidden room. This was not all my imagination, as I had glimpsed an actual picture of this in August's book. A statue of Mary with a wide open door, and inside, all these people tucked away in the secret world of consolation. I woke to Rosaline's big hands shaking me and opened my eyes to a terrible brightness. Her face was bent over mine, the scent of coffee and grape jelly coming from her mouth.
"Lily," she yelled, "what in the Sam Hill happened in here?"
I'd forgotten there would be dried blood caked across my arm. I looked at it, at a piece of glass, small as a stub of diamond, burrowed in a puckered setting of skin. Around me, jagged pieces of jars and puddles of honey, blood dotted the floor. Rosaline stared at me, waiting, bewildered looking. I stared back, trying to make her face come into focus. Sunlight slanted across Our Lady and fell down around us.
"Answer me," Rosaline said.
I squinted in the light. My mouth couldn't seem to open up and speak.
"Look at you. You've been bleeding."
My head nodded, bobbed around on my neck. I looked at the wrecked room. I felt embarrassed, ridiculous, stupid. I threw some jars of honey.
"You made this mess?"
she said, like she couldn't quite believe it, like what she'd expected me to say was that a roving band of house wreckers had come through during the night. She blew a puff of air over her face, so forceful it lifted her hair, which was not easy to do considering the amount of lacquer she kept smeared on it.
"Lord God in heaven," she said.
I got to my feet, waiting for her to bawl me out, but she took her thick fingers and struggled to pluck the piece of glass from my arm.
"You need some mercurochrome on this before you get infected," she told me. "Come on."
She sounded exasperated, like she wanted to take me by the shoulders and shake me till my teeth fell out. I sat on the side of the tub while Rosaline dabbed my arm with a stinging icy swab. She plastered a band-aid across it and said,
"There. You won't die from blood poisoning, at least."
She closed the medicine cabinet over the sink, then shut the bathroom door. I watched her take a seat on the commode, how her belly dropped down between her legs. When Rosaline sat on a toilet, the whole thing disappeared under her. I perched on the side of the tub and thought how glad I was August and June were still in their rooms.
"All right," she said. "Why did you throw all that honey?"
I looked at the row of seashells on the window ledge, knowing how truly they belonged here, even though we were 100 miles from the ocean. August had said everybody needed a seashell in her bathroom to remind her the ocean was her home. Seashells, she'd said, are Our Lady's favorite items, next to the moon. I went over and picked up one of the shells, a pretty white one, flat with yellow around the edges. Rosaline sat there watching me.
"Any time now," she said.
"T-Ray was right about my mother," I said, hearing myself say the words, feeling sickened by them. "She left me. It was just like he said it was. She left me." For a second, the anger I'd felt the night before flared up, and it crossed my mind to slam the shell against the tub, but I took a breath instead. Throwing fits wasn't that satisfying, I'd found out. Rosaline shifted her weight, and the toilet lid squeaked and slid around on top of the seat. She raked her fingers over the top of her head. I looked away at the pipe under the sink, at a smudge of rust on the linoleum.
"So your mother did leave after all," she said. "Lord, I was afraid of that."
I lifted my head. I remembered that first night after we ran away down by the creek,
When I'd told Rosaline what T-Ray had said, I'd wanted her to laugh at the very idea of my mother leaving me, but she'd hesitated. "You knew already, didn't you?" I said.
"I didn't know for sure," she said. "I just heard things."
"What things?" She let out a sigh, really something more than a sigh.
"After your mama died," she said, "I heard T-Ray on the phone talking to that neighbor lady, Mrs. Watson. He was telling her he didn't need her to watch after you, that he'd gotten one of the pickers out of the orchard. He was talking about me, so I listened."
Outside the window, a crow flew past, filling the bathroom with a frantic caw, caw, and Rosaline stopped, waiting for it to die down. I knew Mrs. Watson from church, from all the times she stopped to buy peaches from me. She was kind as she could be, but she'd always looked at me like there was something indescribably sad written across my forehead, like she wanted to come over and scrub it off.